the far end of the universe, there is an evil that wants to destroy everything. And only a group of marvelous people can stop him.
Gentlemen,
what are you prepared to do?
Captain America. Iron Man.
I want to protect the people.
Spider-Man. Black Widow. Vision. Ant-Man. Scarlet Witch. Falcon. The Hulk. Black Panther. Doctor Strange. Winter Soldier. The Punisher. Thor.
Who the hell are you guys?
The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where'd you get that crap?
You're an imbecile.
I am Groot.
And a lot of others.
Play ball!
They are locked in a battle to the death.
Infinity Stone.
A battle that will finally be fought across the galaxy.
That was awesome!
On Earth.
Evacuate the city and get this man a shield.
You will know what it's like to lose.
No!
What do, Cap?
We fight.
Is this part of a plan?
I could do this all day.
Avengers Saga continues. Infinity War. Live the adventure.
All right, we are rolling. Hello.
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 Howdy.
Hello and welcome to Laser Time.
Okay. All right. So, welcome to the film room. We can. Yes, yes, Bendy. Yes.
Come on, Bendy.
We have an ensemble cast for you. Okay. Roundtable. Is this the most people we've had?
It's the most we've had for any cast other than the Prodigy cast.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just the new guy here.
I'm a new guy too.
Just to set the mood, I don't know if that's the right word.
Scene.
To set the scene, yes, for you. We are all in Arkansas right now. We are in the same room, and there are five of us.
Well, in my case, I just moved here.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so everybody introduce yourselves.
My name is Sebastian Moreno, and I'm basically new to podcasting. My first time here, obviously.
Yay!
My name is Nathan, here visiting y'all. My first time in Arkansas, let alone Little Rock, so I'm enjoying it. And this isn't my first podcast, though, that I've been on, so I have some experience with at least being on a podcast anyway. But thank you all for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm Zephyr. Y'all who have been following the film room for quite some time might remember me by a different name, and that's fine.
Yeah. You might remember him from both our Gods That Dead casts, or our Equestria Girls cast, or what else have you been? You've been on
Rain Man.
Rain Man, that's right.
You've and then Easter Sunday cast.
And Easter Sunday. You've been on, you hold the record.
Yes. Yes, the most prolific guest. And continuing that streak tonight.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
With appearance number 6.
Yeah. And of course.
I'm Austin Shin, and I am the, I guess, the tenant of this house that we're recording in. And
you run this shit.
Yep. I'm the host of the summit.
Yes.
There you go.
But not summit. The crit keeper.
That's what we're calling this. Okay. So this is for to get the ball rolling. The original purpose of this was, this is the weekend that Infinity War was supposed to be released, but it was released last weekend. So we all kind of saw it at our own pace, but we all saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I saw it right on the dates, April 27th.
There you
nice.
Go.
Nice.
Yes.
Yep, yes. True. You're ahead of all of us. God.
There you go.
Because I'm that fucking awesome.
So.
Right.
So yeah. Before we go any further, have to say full spoilers. We cannot not talk spoilers.
Yeah.
So it's all bets are off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been warned.
You've
right?
been warned. Yep. If you haven't seen it, see it, please.
Also, I'm not sure that you could have not seen it as of now, because judging by the box office, it seems like everybody that wanted to go see it did go see it.
Or saw it twice.
Or saw it twice.
Or three times. Or four times. Right?
Or,
yeah. No shit. It's
just that big of a film, really.
Yeah.
That big of a film, yes.
$1 billion in 11 days.
Yeah.
Holy God.
I will point out that this is probably going to be a different cast for us in terms of structure, because it's going to be a little more tightly structured just to keep things moving with five people.
And there's a lot to cover.
So we're going to kind of, the way that we're going to do it is we've got five areas that we're going to cover, and we're just going to kind of go around the horn.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. All
right, what is the first area we are covering?
The first area we're going to cover is everybody's personal history with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All right. Cool. So, who starts?
I'll start.
Okay.
I'll start because I feel like I have, I guess you could say, a little bit more personal history. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wager I probably saw Iron Man the first of anybody at this table. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I can't
argue that.
No,
but I went to the first showing, and I mean the 8 p.m. the night before showing. Massive Iron Man fan, was for 10 years before the movie came out, and I was just excited that I was going to get to see an Iron Man movie. I just wanted to see the armor on the big screen. That was all I wanted. When the post-credits sequence came and they brought up the idea of the Avengers Initiative, I didn't see it coming that I would actually get to see it. Didn't think it would actually happen. Sure as hell didn't see this coming.
Nobody did.
10 years later,
my oh my.
Yeah.
I'm also, for the record, a massive comic book reader. Massive.
Okay, so we, like, just today, I arrived yesterday. Zephyr and Nathan have been in town since Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But we hit up all the comic shops, because today is free comic book day, just to put a date seal on this. Yeah, so we hit up all the comic shops and got a ton of shit. Mm-hmm. A ton of shit.
Shall we send the horn in this way?
Yes. Okay.
Before we go any further, I'd like to mention that a few days ago, it was the 10th anniversary of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
The start of the month.
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's right.
May 2nd, I believe.
Yes, May 2nd. May 1st being the night of the night before showings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I observed, because that's when I saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
it's true. My personal history with it, I don't know what I thought of Mark. Well, aside from, like, the, you know, obvious, the X-Men, you know, I was surprised to learn, like, I did have the privilege of going to see it. I saw it at a drive-in.
Nice.
My small story with that is, I went to see, I don't know why I saw it in two separate theaters, but I went to see Speed Racer that weekend. And then I went to a drive-in, because I'd never been to one before, to see Iron Man. And the movie playing opposite that was Speed Racer. So, every once in a while, just for shits and giggles, like, I could see it through my rearview mirror.
Hmm.
So I just flipped the radio station over to see what was happening in Speed Racer.
Hmm.
And then flip right back. But that was a cool experience, to see it like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know... I guess I was curious. I'd seen Iron Man around, but I didn't know anything about the character at all. I just saw the armor looked really cool. Didn't disappoint. I enjoyed it a lot.
First of all, I knew about Marvel for years when I was a kid. I watched The Obvious on Fox Kids and reruns on what used to be ABC Family, like Spider-Man and X-Men. Although I knew vaguely who Iron Man was at the time, especially since he did guest star on a few episodes of Spider-Man. Although I did see a few clips of the Iron Man cartoon when I was a kid on TV. But I digress. And while I did have a few other comics when I started collecting, I didn't exactly call myself a fan, but I was interested, and fast forward to 2008, besides seeing the Super Bowl TV spots, the trailer and such, I saw the film a week after it came out, and essentially, I knew there was a post-credit scene. They didn't say what, just IMDb told me there was, or some board member did, and basically, I was enthralled with what I was seeing. Enthralled with what I was seeing throughout. You know, it was. Robert Downey Jr. was perfectly cast, for the record, mm-hmm. And I actually did knew about it for a few years, because I recall reading around like late 2005, John Favreau was directing, and I noticed one of his influences was RoboCop. So this film took a while, and you know, and it seems that all the hard work paid off, given what it essentially launched, and I did stay for the credits.
Yeah,
I did stay for the credits, through the credits, and all, and. Essentially, I was curious where this was going, and ever since then, I haven't quit. I always followed wherever Marvel went, and I was converted to a Marvel fan full time in 2012 with the Avengers. I even saw the Incredible Hulk. Even
nice.
I'm 19 for 19, so
yeah. I have to say right now that Sebastian, you are wearing a Black Panther T-shirt.
Yes, and Captain America
hat.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I do have a Spider-Man T-shirt back in the apartment.
Yeah.
Nice.
So make up with that with you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably like I consider myself a like you know comic book geek, but I don't really have a lot. I've only just gotten the free ones, you know. I'm more of a video game kind of guy, but mine was definitely Iron Man as well, and I think I saw it. I did. Now, see, I don't remember, you know, when or what day or whatever. I do remember seeing in the theater, and I did, you know, stay for the post-credit scene. Sorry. And, and yeah, the life was like, wait, what? The Avengers? What? The Avengers? Huh? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, well, great, how long we had to wait for that? And now, you know, I'm thinking, man, we had to wait forever for that. And now here's the day, and it didn't feel like it's lasted. It wasn't forever, about the Speed Racer thing, I kind of had a similar experience, too. Yeah, in a way, my dad and I would take a trip every year to Dayton, Ohio, for the amateur radio convention. But that's a different subject. But there, we stayed just down the street from a drive-in, and my dad's like, "Well, what else?" He's like, "No, we need to go see Iron Man." And yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I kind of looked in the rearview mirror, going, "Oh yeah, no." No, I'm seeing the right movie. Speed Racer. No, we're good. I like I think it was a double feature. I think it was Iron Man, and then or maybe it was Speed Racer, and I think my dad and I stayed all of 10 minutes for the Speed Racer. And we're like, yeah, no, I'm gonna sleep and get to the show the next day. So I'm like, yeah, no, but yeah, I don't know. I actually have not seen all of them. I have not seen Thor Ragnarok yet, but I did see Infinity War, so there were references to that movie, but I still enjoyed it nonetheless. So.
Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of my personal history with MCU, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, for me, I have the worst track record out of all of us here.
I would agree.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Yes, I love you too, dear. But, like, for me, my start to the MCU was with the Avengers back in 2012.
That's not a bad choice.
No. My dad took me and my younger brother to go see that.
Wow.
And... at the time, I was very much into Buffy and Firefly, so I, without knowing anything else, I'm like, okay, Joss Whedon is handling this. I know pretty much how this is going to go down, and I had a generally good time. Between that, I've only seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Infinity War, so I...
Wow.
You get some good movies to catch up on there.
Yeah,
I really have the worst track record in terms of this out of...
Especially with Volume 2 being on Netflix.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange. And Captain America. Civil War. Yeah,
Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Is kind of
that was good, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just really...
Okay, so maybe I am a bigger... geek in that aspect than you.
Yeah. I'll give Mahler a lot of things more. But
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, right.
So
it's what's safe for the record, in case it hasn't been stated on this cast, Thor Ragnarok is my favorite comedy of the Marvel Universe.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
it's the best Thor movie anyway.
Yeah. It is.
It is by a pretty good margin, too.
Even though I haven't seen it, I don't mind if y'all spoil it. It's fine. I'll see it eventually.
It's just great. It's
yeah.
just great.
Yeah.
We watched, Amanda and I actually watched it on Tuesday.
Probably when we get back home, we're probably going to watch it. So.
Yeah, you should.
When you do watch it, knowing what happens after the events, it'll be a little more painful, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, because that one ends on a note of hope, and then right at the beginning of Infinity War, it's like, yeah, he's wiped out half of Asgard.
Guardianship, it's like, oh shit, at least Valkyrie's alive, that's right, but I like to think Korg is alive at least. So what's the next step that we're gonna give is, I'm gonna really challenge everybody, you've got three sentences, make your opinion on this movie count.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna challenge y'all, and I'm gonna go first to set
what
the tone.
What if they're run-on sentences?
They can be run-on sentences, but they can't be too much.
Okay.
It's a challenge to people. Infinity War reflects to me the perfect synthesis of comic book and film, capturing everything bold and wonderful about a shared universe just perfectly. The film, it's never overstuffed or overcrowded, but instead feels perfectly balanced with every character getting a moment to shine, fun combinations, and all of these combinations come together to provide some of the most blissful action sequences that we've gotten. Not Marvel's best film, but maybe their most transcendent experience.
Okay, so there's a lot.
That's the challenge.
Yeah, I saw this film with my other co-host, Kitty, and a late night showing, and by the time we got out it was very late, so just, you know, she asked me like, what did you feel 1 to 10, and I'm just like, I need to process.
Yep.
Okay, and I will say, after the fact that I reserve my rating until I see part 2. Like, that's just how I have to play that. However, there were some marvelous action sequences in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for all the kids... Like, one of the things I was afraid of for this one was, like, the ensemble, you know, since there are so many characters they have to keep track of, not being that well-balanced and being kind of train wrecked. That did not happen at all. It was handled very well. So I have to say it exceeded my expectations by a wide margin, and I loved it. And I cannot wait until it concludes next year. I can't wait to see how they dig themselves out of this hole, because fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my three sentences.
For me, Avengers Infinity War is... I'm not sure how to describe it, but essentially, this was undoubtedly a long time coming. While, yes, we have part 2 set for release next year, but... essentially, I felt that a lot of the different cast from these films have rather excellent chemistry. And, you know, especially when you have Stark bouncing off a few of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there, it had a good balance of, like, the humor and the dark content, especially, and on a personal level, resonate with Gamora, as I saw the signs of an abusive parent in Thanos, given my personal experience, you know. And a lot of it does fit close to home, so to speak, and essentially I relate to that. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but I'd say it's in the top 5. It's number 3 behind Black Panther and Civil War. And I also had the... definite pleasure of seeing this with a friend of mine, my roommate Chelsea. You know, I did send a video to Chelsea about the history of the MCU, just to have Chelsea catch up, but Chelsea decided to go in blind, really. So,
yeah.
Oh boy.
It worked out fine. It worked out fine, you know. And essentially, so really, And it got very emotional too, because throughout it I was gasping at certain moments and felt the need to cry pretty much.
Yeah.
Although I was also like rooting for every single character that popped up on screen, especially since at one point I actually lifted this seat by accident. So there's that story.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
All right. Oh, man. Where do I start? Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I thought, you know, they balanced it really well. I was thinking, okay, how are they going to fit all of these characters in the amount of time that they did? And I was really quite shocked that, you know, they balanced it out really well. Yeah, you know, you're rooting for them, you know, to stop him and everything. I mean, but I am, like I said, I may not read it much, but I am at least familiar with this storyline. It's like, well, I know he does get them. I know he's eventually going to get, you know, the Infinity Stones.
That's about the journey.
Yeah, right, he's right, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I did find myself, kind of shedding a few tears, you know, especially at the end, you know, just, they're like, no, wait a minute, you know.
Right.
I mean, not... Yeah, you're like, no, not this person, not the United Parish. Well, we already warned spoilers. Spider-Man, are you kidding me? You're gonna kill him. Oh my god. I'm just like, no, Tom. Yeah.
Just like pleading to Uncle Tony, I don't want to die. It's like,
oh my god. You're like, fuck me.
She's going to need a lot of therapy.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm gonna need to go to therapy after this movie.
Oh,
but yeah, I would agree it's not probably the best one. But it's pretty up there. I don't know where. Like I said, I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen most of them, and I would say at least in the top five, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, for me, walking out of the theater, it reminded me of Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia in terms of scope and weaving all of these storylines together with such a massive cast. And hell, I even saw someone else tweet nearly the exact same thoughts on it a day later, so probably Mason, now that I think about it.
But it would be him.
Yeah, it would be him.
Well, cool dude.
As someone who has not seen every single Marvel film, I will say that the critics were wrong in terms of you being required to see every single film in order to enjoy what this was, because I was able to know who these characters are, get a brief story, and just dive right into the action.
That's an interesting perspective that I'm glad to get, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. You can still enjoy it without seeing all the movies.
Yeah,
definitely.
And for the record, I forgot to mention Black Panther as one film that I... one of the Marvel films that I saw.
Yes, we did see that together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
For the record, I was talking about Peter needing therapy.
Yeah.
No, I need therapy. Are you kidding me? After that? Yeah, but no, I
Tony needs more therapy.
Yeah, right.
There's that.
Yeah. Oh my
He's
God.
Needed therapy for a very long time.
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
long
yeah.
before these movies even started.
Yeah.
I'm gonna reverse the order of how this usually goes when people write reviews, which is, I'm gonna ask y'all, and this is kind of a difficult question, I'm sure, but what's your least favorite thing about the film, and then so that we can end on a more upbeat, because the movie ends on such a dark note, we're going to reverse it and end on a more upbeat note, unlike the film.
What?
So I'm gonna throw out what your least favorite part is, and I'm gonna say what mine is, which is, I do feel like a couple of portions of the film were really underlit. I have some issues with the look of the film. I think Marvel's notorious color grading did strike again. Really, aside from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and Doctor Strange, Marvel does not know how to have films that look good. This is a complaint I've heard
And I think in this one, because the scenes in Nidavellir, or whatever it was pronounced, the Forge of the Gods, real underlit.
Yeah.
And that may have partially been to help hide the fact that they had to do some rather interesting heavy lifting with a character in the film. I'm actually going to leave that one for people to discover.
We are doing full spoilers.
No, but this one, I'm going to say I still want people to get to enjoy on their own.
Okay, all right.
If
they did foolhardily, plunge into the chasm.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to say still, this one. I do feel like that was an issue that I had. I think it's hard to not deny that there is a very flat look to Marvel films, aside from Guardians of the Galaxy, which James Gunn has really done a good job of bucking that with some really gorgeous films. I do feel like this one does suffer from that. I think the flat Marvel look, really it's only on Titan that I think things really popped visually, and that feels like James Gunn's influence coming in. So that's my complaint about the film. Is could have looked better. It's still decent looking.
Yeah.
Could have looked a little bit better.
Okay, so I don't know if I have a real complaint. I'm sure if I picked enough, I could. It's been 3 days since I've seen it. I'm still kind of processing it. Talked a little bit at length coming up here, even just with Austin. Spent about an hour on the phone with him, just kind of dissecting it. And I'm still brought there so much. I guess my one complaint, and it's not really a complaint because I think it's a strategy, is that Ant-Man wasn't in it. And I was kind of waiting for him to be in it. I was waiting for Paul Rudd to show up. And I only realized afterward that he didn't. It's like, oh, okay. So I have a feeling we're probably going to get him for the second film. He has his own, film with his partner, the Wasp, coming up. Excuse me. I also want to say, wouldn't it be fucked up if they were like, nope, this is actually just how this 10-year journey ends. Thanos destroys half of everything. We're done. Bye.
Right?
They wouldn't do that, but would they? No.
Yeah, right. I mean, if they want to piss off every single Marvel fan in the entire universe, sure, go for it. Yeah.
It's like Kevin Feige just comes out, it's like, I fucking hated Marvel since day one.
Right.
This is my middle finger to all of you. Fuck you, bye.
Right.
And switch to DC then?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
DC is all we have now.
Yeah, right. Lord knows they need help.
Not even getting into what happened when Joss Whedon went over to DC. Just don't.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's not going to happen. It's going to continue for years to come. And we're going to have, But anyway, that's my only real complaint about it. Sebastian, go.
Well, I will say the one weak link was that I felt the whole thing about Wanda and Vision together at the start of the film did come out of nowhere, unless this was explained in a tie-in comic or something. Essentially, last I checked, Vision was still with Team Tony. So, it was... I did have a few questions that how Wanda and Vision got back together exactly. So, I mean, I understand with Gamora and Star-Lord since...
They set that one hard.
There was... since the time skip for the Guardians was about 2 years, I could go for that just with Wanda and Vision. I felt like at least one sentence could have explained how they were back together.
I'm going to throw out that I feel like Civil War showed them at least connecting.
Yeah, that there was that paprika scene.
And I weirdly found... I mean, I agree that it's out of nowhere, but I found it weirdly effective.
Their scenes were good, just... I kind of wish there was some...
Setup.
Yes, a setup. Other than that, it's not much real complaints.
You know, the one, I guess the one complaint that, that popped in my mind, but, you know, I knew it was going to happen anyways, why do they have to kill my favorite characters? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, that's kind of like the obvious one. That's the only one that popped in my head. Y'all had a lot better ones than I do, but I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to go with this one.
That's a good one. That's a good one, though, because that's where a lot of people are.
You know,
are
and I'm like, okay, well, they're going to bring it back, but I read a recent article, and I'm not so sure, but one can hope and cross your fingers, right, that you know, they bring him back, like my boy Spider-Man.
He has a sequel coming.
I mean, but it's probably set before this.
No, they've said explicitly it's setting up Phase 4, so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's safe.
Yeah.
Well, good. But,
so is Black Panther.
Yeah. Yes.
700 million says he's safe.
Yeah, yes. Right? You would think. So, but anyway, I was like, oh, you just killed, like, almost all my favorite ones. At least you left Iron Man, but still. I mean, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, I agree with all you on all your points, though. You know, the look and, you know, like, the color of the... Yeah, could have been better. And then I'm like, okay... I was like, okay, now what movie was Vision in? I know he's in, okay, Civil War. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was... Wait, where did this romance come from kind of thing? It's like, okay... And then,
well, my issue was that it was essentially Vision going to Wanda despite her being a outlaw of sorts. You know, that was the setup was what I had a problem with.
Right, yeah, they probably could have done a little bit better, but again, you know, you only have so much time for so many characters, you know. So, but anyway.
Well, for me, my complaint was that in my head I couldn't take Thanos as a serious threat like everyone else did, only because every single time he was on screen, he just looked like a very angry Jim Gaffigan that fell into, like, purple paint.
That's a good one for me.
That's really all that I could see. And yes, if I, you know, watch the rest of the films, filled in my gaps, and probably read Infinity War myself, I could see, okay, this Thanos is a very grave danger, but his look just looked very similar to Jim Gaffigan, and I'm sorry, I couldn't really let go of that connection.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But,
I was more hearing comparisons with Whedon.
Yeah, I've seen comparisons to Whedon as well. But I don't know, I just saw Jim Gaffigan.
I'm just gonna go with the cliche and obvious answer that, I mean, I just saw, to me he looks like purple Josh Brolin.
Right.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
They did a real good job of getting Brolin in there.
Oh, he's one of the best things.
I have to amend my answer from earlier. It's not a complaint from the film. It's a complaint about the fucking fans. Like, I spent a week actively avoiding spoilers. I was so paranoid every time I went on to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, initially I said I wasn't going to go onto Facebook or Tumblr at all, but I can't keep away.
Yeah.
So every time, like, I filtered my Tumblr for it, and that worked about 100%. But Facebook, every time I saw something, like a picture of Thanos or anything related to the Avengers, I would say, no.
Yeah, so scroll faster.
Exactly.
Right?
But I kept seeing this meme.
Oh, gosh.
About different fictional characters from different things, just like, kind of disintegrating, like all the same effect, and like usually the caption, I don't feel so good. I didn't give it a second thought, you know, it's an unusual thing out of context. Like, what is this? This is weird. And at one point, like maybe a couple days before I saw it, I was at the tipping point of what the fuck is this? And then I almost looked it up. Like, I almost took to Wikipedia or Know Your Meme. And I thought, you know what? No, I don't care. This looks really stupid. And then when everybody started disintegrating at the end, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Right. I was giving up spoilers this entire time. Right. I am so mad. Oops. I'm still mad. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just glad I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
I was almost spoiled that end credit scene.
Anyway. That's my amended answer for that.
Now to get to the thing that really we're all going to have, I can't wait to hear everybody's answers on this.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite thing about the movie? And for me, it's a single scene. Uh-huh. It's the scene where Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Doctor Strange first encounter Star-Lord, Drax, and Mantis.
Oh, don't predict
me! And here's the reason why. Is because to me, that scene is the biggest comic book scene that I've seen on a film scale yet. It's not the most characters. The battle at the end definitely counts.
Right.
But it's the one where here are all these huge, larger-than-life characters. I mean, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man. These are huge characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Star-Lord, Drax, and Mantis, who have become these major characters. These huge, larger-than-life personalities encountering each other, and you've just got this pinball game that's playing where everybody's playing off of each other. You know, and then you look at the actors that are involved, and these are not small actors. You've got Robert Downey Jr., Chris Pratt, Benedict Cumberbatch, for God's sake.
Did you see that behind-the-scenes photo where there are a ton of trailers for these actors during filming in Atlanta?
Because that
was a big one.
It's insane. You know, these huge presences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to watch how perfectly executed it is.
Mm-hmm.
You get... it's something that you never think you're going to see as a comic book fan. Something this big and not holding back. And it's just glorious. The interplay is amazing, and it's everything I've ever wanted out of a comic book movie.
Taking notes, DC?
Yeah.
We're not bringing them up. Stop. They're already dead.
I am looking forward to the Teen Titans Go movie.
That one looks fun.
That's all I will say.
Yep.
My favorite is a bunch of little things. Just... I loved seeing Bruce Banner like fighting for himself, like in the Hulkbuster armor, and legitimately enjoying himself. It's like, mm-hmm. finally I get to be part of this shit, not just my alter ego, even though he's desperately trying to bring his alter ego out because he's more powerful.
Come on, you big green asshole.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, all right, fine. And then at one point he just reaches his like turning point. It's like, all right, fine, I'll finish this. And then he just, it's like, yeah, you go, Banner. Like, you've just been, you know, you've been trying to hide your anger, but this is you unleashing, yeah. I also loved the whole Spider-Man Tony interplay. Oh, no, okay, I can pinpoint my absolute favorite moment, just because it's a culmination of, like, something a lot of people wanted for a long time. And we finally got it, like, despite all odds. Mm. You know, the moment when Tony's like, okay, fine, and then just does the knighting thing with his hand.
Right.
It's like, congratulations, you are an Avenger. And Peter just puffs out his chest, does, like, a far-off hero stare, like, fuck yeah, I made it.
What, right. Is it your ward?
It's like, yeah.
Right, yay.
You go, Peter, you did it. You did it for all of us. Yeah, she's using my... Hey, Bindi, come here. She likes my suitcase. She did last time, she does this time. She's using it as a scratching post. I don't mind that so much, except we're recording and it's kind of distracting. But anyway, that's my pinpointed, like, there are numerous moments I could list, but that's pinpointed my favorite moment of the film. Anyway, yeah.
Well, essentially, there are plenty of things, but the number one and the most important, I feel, is that the very thing the MCU films succeed at, even the weaker ones like Thor: The Dark World, is that the film excels at characters.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of these characters not just interacting with each other, but their characterization itself is brilliant. It's well done. You have these characters reacting, you know, logically to this whole situation, these new people. Basically, it's, when you think about it, it's how they would react to each other. and the chemistry between the actors is off the charts, and essentially it's like in the comics, you just do see yourselves much in them, and especially since myself included with Gamora, for example. And because, and in terms of the films themselves, because you do connect with these characters after watching the films lots, that's a lot of the stuff that happens is going to hurt, or you essentially root for them. And what else do I think of? So when that scene comes, there's an emotional punt gutch, which, you know, the, which, because of your attachment, you do feel the pain certain characters are going through. Like, Rocket is essentially the only Guardian left by the end of this film. Especially seeing Groot disintegrate is pretty much is not bringing back happy memories at all. Because I can see him going not again, you know. Although Cap seeing Bucky disintegrate is not. Yeah, that's not gonna go well for him again. Although seeing Black Panther disappear got me. Can I bring up the spoiler?
Go for it.
Red Skull.
Right.
I did not expect to see him
right?
again.
Right, me neither. You're like,
because at first I thought that's not him, and then upon a closer inspection I thought oh god, that is him.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny to me, at least now in hindsight, is that my friend Nicole on Facebook actually predicted this would happen. She predicted Red Skull would show up somehow, and she was right.
He had to, because he's the last real giant remaining plot hole, which is where did he go? They had to answer that.
And I guess the dude spent all his years guarding a stone,
mm-hmm.
which... Well, I guess when you lose the war, you have to find work elsewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Nathan? Yeah. It just kind of popped in my head, but did you all just, like, freaking love Spider-Man's suit?
I love it.
Oh,
I think
my God.
The Iron Spider has...
Right?
It's been
oh
one of my
God.
Favorite armors of all
right?
time.
I'm like, okay, you know, I was like, okay, that, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, all right, yeah, that's pretty... Pretty cool suit, yeah, looks good. And the thing's when I was back, I'm like, holy shit.
That's the best part.
That's awesome. Yeah, right? Oh my gosh.
And I loved this suit is just so intuitive.
Right, right, yeah.
It's like he's, you know, he automatically does, like, the, like, when the spider legs pop out, there's a moment where he's surprised by the fact that it does
right.
that, but he's like,
right.
whoa, this just feels so natural, though.
Right, yeah.
So, love it.
Right.
Have you seen this old movie called Aliens?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I love that. I was going to point that out, too. The humor in this movie, just like all the other Marvel movies, their timing is spot on. They never drag out the joke too long, you know, and then they move on. I mean, you know, I love how they kind of space it out. You know, we're kind of this intense scene, and right in the middle, you know, there's just this little, like, I don't know, 5-second comedic thing, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, okay, that's a great way to break up the action. You know,
mm-hmm.
where you know, you're on your edge of your seat, but then you can relax a little bit. Yeah,
yeah.
You get lost, good word.
Yeah, right. And of course, I love all these references to these other pop culture references that aren't even part of the bigger, you know. Disney umbrella or anything like that, you know, they can get away, you know, they get away with it. The Marvel, they can get away with it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but you know, I mean, I would say that you know was one of more of my favorite ones. I just loved it.
What Avengers 4 needs is a DuckTales reference,
right?
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
I don't put it past them,
right?
But yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, well, for me, my favorite scene ended up being the climax where they all died, or where the people died. And I know that sounds incredibly dark, but here's the thing. If you paid attention, there was no score.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's right, there
I
was
noticed.
No music.
I noticed.
Yeah, for the disintegrations and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, there was no score.
It's
if they had used a, you know, a super dramatic, bombastic death theme to hammer, you know, to, okay, yeah, hammer in the fact that, yes, they're dying, they're disintegrating. It's like, it would have been too much. It would have pushed it over the top. But by having the lack of the score, it reflects real life because you don't die to music.
Yeah, and just having them blow away.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you happen to be the 1998 Lost in Space. Music had to do with it in the second quarter.
But just having, you know, having this moment where you are there seeing these people die off, much like, the Buffy episode, The Body.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Just with the use of sound and the events on screen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, we went back to the kind of like one of your, maybe, I guess it'd be kind of like my favorite, like not favorite. But y'all, that was effed up what he did to Gamora. Can we just say that?
We do need to give that.
Can we just say how effed up that was? I mean,
and it's all the worse because she is so certain that she's like, I finally get to see you destroyed.
Right.
I finally get to see. The worst part about it is that then Thanos spends the entire rest of the film going, hey, I've lost something. I'm in mourning. It's like, you killed her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You murdered her.
Yeah,
right.
You don't get to go around feeling this.
Yeah,
certain abusive parents always feel that way.
And that's very. I will point out we haven't gotten into this, but I know that James Gunn consulted very heavily on the film, and I'm going to wager that a lot of that, you know, I'm going to wager that they probably went to Gunn and said, "Okay, how do you want us to play this relationship?" Because he's been the one that's etched it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt Gunn's fingerprints pretty hard on this film. I know he worked on some of the dialogue. Like, made sure that the Guardians sounded right. And boy, did they.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like... And I was like, you know, when she says, oh, I've actually, you don't love anything, that's what I'm going, no.
Yep.
I saw
stop
those.
Talking.
I
stop
saw it
talking.
Coming,
yep.
Yeah, the longer she talked, the more I was like, go.
Yeah,
run,
yeah,
run,
run,
God,
run, right,
God,
yeah. So,
God.
Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the whole thing, you know, they flesh it out with, like, what happened between him and Gamora, and she, you know, they have that exchange. It's like, oh, I saved you. It's like, yeah, from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's, like, fuck you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but you also, I mean, don't you all, you know, you're like, oh my God, you know, Thanos is just this horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
But they make you want to sympathize with him, though, too.
Sympathetic. Yeah,
right?
I
You're
agree.
Just like...
He's comprehensible, is the
right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. Like, a guy committing genocide is not exactly...
I agree.
You know,
yeah.
I agree, but...
I mean, I didn't certainly get that vibe. Complex, yes, but not sympathetic.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that, but, I mean, I felt something, you know? I don't know how to describe it, but, you know...
But him... You know, playing the sympathy card, that's being manipulative.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
is, you know, part of being a rather abusive person.
Exactly.
That is true.
So, everybody falls into that
right.
trap.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We're all being abused by Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I think that's something that has, you know, you hit the nail on the head about the whole characterization thing.
Yeah.
That has been Marvel's cornerstone. I think that's why this universe... Okay, 10 years isn't that long a period of time.
No.
When you really stop to look at it. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really telling that Marvel has kept that as their cornerstone for all of these films.
Mm-hmm.
With the weakest ones being, say, The Incredible Hulk and Thor the Dark World, which do fall down on that area.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, really, character is their strong suit. That's why I think Iron Man 3 is so very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Is because it's a portrait of someone going through post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved that they've never let Tony heal from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has yet to be like, I'm okay. Especially in this movie, he is not okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And screw the haters of Iron Man 3. I don't care what.
There's not that many of them, really.
No, I speak on personal experience.
I know, but I'm
just
saying, there's not that many of them I've noticed.
Well, actually, two assholes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's like, I remember seeing, like, a feature on Iron Man, like, either a Blu-ray feature or whatever, where they were talking about how they wanted to sell it, like, in the trailer, and it's notable that they sold the first, like, if anybody remembers, like, the first Iron Man trailer is just, it's mostly Robert Downey Jr. being Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
having that charm.
And that's the strength. That's,
yeah. And that's how they chose to play it, and that's, you know, been evident from, you know, that point on.
I also hear the complaint, too, that Marvel isn't a director's studio, and I know they get that complaint a lot. I think it's really interesting that they're starting to evolve that way.
Well, they've been doing it well recently.
That's what I'm saying, is they're really
right.
moving
yeah,
in that direction.
With James Gunn and
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
John
yeah.
Watts and Ryan Coogler.
Watts, mm-hmm. I don't think, is getting enough credit for having put a personal stamp on Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't have the same instantly understandable filmography of, say...
Creed.
Yeah, of say Creed and Fruitvale Station or Taika Waititi's very distinct filmography.
Watts is from the indie film world, so maybe
yeah.
that's
But I mean,
right.
the thing is, it's hard to draw distinctions. It's hard to look at someone whose previous films were, respectively, a gritty indie thriller about kids who find themselves in over their head and a movie about a killer clown.
He's not. It's not the new It movie, FYI.
It's not, but
it's
but you see what I'm saying. He has a... But I kind of like that. I like that Marvel does find directors. And again, Scott Derrickson has been very clear about the fact that he had free reign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, Edgar Wright was a bad fit. And I think that's something that probably knocks them back a bit. That mm-hmm. they did have to say to Edgar Wright, ultimately, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Although you can still very much see Edgar's fingerprints upon that.
Yeah. I know he hasn't watched the film. And
has he not, really?
And I wouldn't if I were him. Don't
yeah.
I wouldn't want.
I would have.
Yeah.
Is that a sheer curiosity?
He still has writing credit, very much.
Yeah, that's because they did so much pre-visualization that they had to use what they had.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Marvel's in an interesting place right now. I know the Russo brothers are very much journeymen, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've got some interesting voices. It'll be interesting to see what happens next, especially because right now, after this phase, you know, I know Spider-Man Homecoming, the sequel to that, will be next up on the docket for them.
Oh, and then there's
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. We don't know what's going to happen with Black Panther
and
2.
Black Widow.
And Black Widow, they're talking about.
Because they have some stellar directors.
They have some stellar directors. I'm going to say this. Y'all missed your moment on that one. I love the character. I have just about every single solo Black Widow story ever published. You missed your moment.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish they'd give that slot to another character at this point.
Yeah.
I'd take a Valkyrie solo movie easily over that.
Well, Tessa Thompson has been pushing hard, so.
Yeah, so, yeah. See, if she wants to do it, I also feel like we don't need another Scarlett Johansson action movie. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
We kind of got enough of those. We got enough. We're good. We good.
Yeah.
I also want to throw out one other comment that I've heard, just to throw this out on the table. I saw someone say recently that Marvel has moved beyond adapting the comics, and they're not really playing to comic book fans. My question is, what?
Yeah.
What? This movie... As someone who lives and breathes this material, I could not believe what I was seeing. It felt so much for a small audience, the diehard comic book fanboy. And I kind of want to point out, one of the things the X-Men movies have done horribly
mm-hmm.
is fan service.
Mm-hmm.
The X-Men movies are like, well, we'll throw in a character, oh, but it won't be the canonical version. We're going to give you like six versions of that character. And do you want to try and figure out the timeline? Ha!
I have a grudge against Jubilee being underused.
I have a grudge against a lot of the characters. That,
right.
I
oh, and Rogue 2.
I love some of the X-Men movies, but it has frustrated me to no end how when they try to play to the comic book fans, they have no idea how to do it. And I think Marvel has done a really good job of striking that balance where things like Thor's new axe being Stormbreaker, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, I know the comics. I know what Stormbreaker is. It excites me that that's mm-hmm. what he gets.
I think that is a good balance of between like knowing what comic book fans know mm-hmm. about, but also introducing new people, you know, what this thing can do, for example.
Yeah, like, you see, because if you don't know it, you're just going to think, oh, well, it's a cool name for an axe, and it's a cool name for a weapon, and it's neat, and especially when you see how it gets its handle.
Right, that's what I already mentioned. That I was like, okay, how cool is that handle, though?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
That's pretty much the only thing that Groot really does in the film. Mm-hmm. Other than a few moments like that. You understand Groot? Yeah, it was an elective at college.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
Well, I know, and Groot did participate in the final battle.
Yeah,
too,
he did.
Yeah.
That's true.
And he got to meet Captain America. That was cool.
Yeah.
I am Steve Rogers.
Just I am Steve right? Rogers. Like,
just very cool.
And here's my Thor just seems so gleeful. Like in the, it's like here, yeah. Here's my new friend, the Tree Man.
Yeah.
I think
that is what killing you means.
And fine, let's bring up DC, because since it has to be brought up, Justice League frustrates me. I thought it was perfectly watchable. Mm-hmm. I thought it was something that I could get through. But ever since I've left the theater, I've been walking out thinking, why did I not feel anything watching that?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't feel anything.
Nothing. I didn't even hate it.
No.
I just felt nothing, mm-hmm. whereas at every moment of this film, I felt something.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I had 18 films beforehand to set it up, but I cared.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any spark of, oh, that's the DC universe on screen. I didn't care who these characters were, and I think the reason is they didn't feel like those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I never recognized them as... I mean, especially like Flash and Aquaman, where the hell did they pull those characterizations out from?
Right.
Whereas Thor, I know the jovial, hard-drinking, bold character. I know... You know, and admittedly, Marvel has changed the characterizations from the comics.
Yes.
Iron Man did not make very many jokes, I'll put it that way. But I recognize constantly thinking, constantly adapting... obsessive compulsive super genius. I recognize that. So I recognize that as Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize the DC Universe characters, except for Wonder Woman, who was spot on.
That's because she had a good movie.
Where she was allowed to act like herself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize any of these characters in the DC Universe. And that's the problem. I wish I did. Because I want DC to be strong, and I like a number of the movies. I like Man of Steel quite a bit.
Wonder Woman was great.
I think Batman vs. Superman even has some things I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League, I felt nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And my asshole former friend would totally hate you for this. Mm. He would.
But I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean,
who
that's
cares?
Just that he always
tries to, you know, make Justice League look good in front of.
And I'm not trying to stoke a war here. I'm just trying to compare two.
Oh,
movies.
I know.
But like, I'm trying to say, that's just it. This isn't about me being team one or the other. It's me saying, because that's just it. Right now, we're still in this phase where it's teams, and I'm like,
right.
I don't care about teams. I just bought a collection of Superman comics today, and I'm giddy to read it. I love, when it comes to the comics, I read about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just watched the Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, the animated movie, the other day. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I want a strong DCU animated. I want a strong DC universe. It annoys me that Marvel is lapping them this much.
Right.
Because Infinity War feels like they've lapped them to the point that they're not going to catch up. There's not going to be that moment for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shit happens, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's when you write down to it, this movie's blowing away records. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I'm good
mm-hmm.
with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I accept our Marvel overlords.
I do too. You know, and can we just acknowledge that Bob Iger, the head of Disney, is going to go down as one of the, as maybe the greatest CEO in entertainment history?
Well, the purchase of Disney buying Marvel certainly caught me off guard.
And then them buying Star Wars. Those two alone, Iger is... He's going to go down as the best studio head of... he's going to go down as the best head of a company in the entertainment industry of all time.
You know, what's funny is that he bought both of those brands to appeal to the boys' market. So, which is funny because they used to have Power Rangers. And right. I guess Power Rangers just wasn't working out much, so Iger set aside some more from Star Wars.
Yeah, well, they did right.
And
so let's...
I want to mention one thing. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they definitely catered to the fanboys, but again,
it wasn't a love fan service.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's very accessible. If you don't know the material.
Yeah, except if you don't know the material, you can still enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it all comes back to characterization.
Right, exactly, because it's written so well and acted so well and directed so well. I mean, if you know somebody who's never read a freaking Marvel comic or even familiar with any characters at all, could still enjoy this movie.
Yeah. That's good for me.
And I love how they're taking, you know, these comic books to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I know we talked about it earlier today, and you know, I don't know if you've seen a jump or a spike in comic book sales. I know they've kind of slacked for years, but I think they're making a comeback, you know, now because of the Marvel MCU.
I really and truly think someone who loves these movies needs to go out and pick up the comics. I think they'll find so much there.
Well, I've been doing my best to show off my comics to Chelsea.
I try to tweet about the graphic novels that I'm reading. I try to talk about them because, you know, it's good stuff. And man, the state of things is good. Bring on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. I mean, it's really good literature. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's classic literature in my opinion. You know,
pretty much
American mythology.
American mythology.
Those are the mythos of our time.
Right.
Pretty much, and new Greek gods, basically.
Yeah.
Right. There
exactly.
you go.
But they're always going to get complaints by old white men.
Of course.
Talking to you, James Cameron, you stupid motherfucker.
Though I feel like so many of Cameron's quotes got taken wildly out of context.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A lot of those quotes were not kept in context, but...
Of course not.
Still, he has a movie about blue people.
I love Avatar. I'm not here for
that. I like the visuals of it, but I mean,
offense to you. Sorry.
We'll see how it fares the test of time. But I don't know if it really has.
I love Avatar. I don't think that he should be pursuing sequels.
No.
I'll put it this way: it ain't the Zoe Saldana an unnatural color sci-fi movie that I adore. I'll put it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For the record, I hope nobody is sitting here scratching their heads going, what was he talking about? Come on.
Yeah.
I just I love that this is where we're at. And
me too.
Me too.
I can't wait to see where it goes.
I can't wait to either. And I'm not even going to try and guess. I put it in their hands.
Go with the flow.
Let them do what they're going to do. Let them make their plans. Here's the thing. They have constantly made decisions that surprised me and confused me. I want to keep being surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Robert Downey Jr. was a bizarre choice for Iron Man.
Yeah.
And he was perfect.
Right, yeah, that kind of track record he's had in the past anyway.
I thought it was weird that they took an actor known for really cerebral work like Mark Ruffalo and brought him in for the Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's been fantastic, and Ruffalo has obviously had a blast.
He loves doing it, yeah.
Clearly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just surprise me, Marvel. Keep it up.
With me, I can only just try to hope for my personal favorites, honestly. I mean, I know I really want Ultimates, and I know I really want Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
You know, I want and America Chavez, too.
You know, I would love to see more female, superhero movies.
We have Captain Marvel coming in.
Right.
Having just read the Brian Reed run of the Carol Danvers comics... back when she was Ms. Marvel, man, that really got my blood flowing for that, because that's really something great.
love Kelly Sue DeConnick.
No, I'm all for just female leads in any movie whatsoever. Strong.
I know.
That's why I love about Wonder Woman is.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was amazing.
Oh my gosh, you know, it was about strong female characters, and I'd give me more. I would love to see more strong female characters in any movie, not just superhero movies, but just in any movie, in general. Yeah, but I mean, it'd be nicer though if it was strong superheroes. Female superheroes. So,
well,
but anyway,
let's go around the horn and everybody, whatever you want to promote. I'll let you do, or we'll come back to last. So,
yeah.
Sebastian, anything you want to promote?
Well, I don't exactly have a fancy website or something like that. But you can follow me on Twitter on SJW James Bond and on Facebook. Under a different last name, admittedly, since Sebastian Moreno is technically my legal name.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But look up Sebastian Villegas, you'll see my Jessica Jones avatar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't really do a lot of Twitter and Facebook and things like that, but I will tell you, if y'all are ever up in the northern Indiana area, specifically Elkhart, Indiana, go check out the world's largest superhero museum. Called the Hall of Heroes. Phenomenal. It's this one guy's private collection that he's just gathered throughout his childhood and into adult years. And they had a hugely phenomenal success of their Elkhart Comic Con. And this would be their second year, I believe it was in September, coming up there in Elkhart. They're now out, they've gone out on the street now. But if you ever get a chance to go up that way or pass through there, on your way, if you're going to Chicago or whatever, check it out. Especially if you're a huge comic boy, fanboy, you will love it. Whenever I get it, if I ever get a chance, whenever I'm up there, go check it out. It is amazing. You can find them on Facebook, Hall of Heroes. I'm sure they have a Twitter and Twitter, Facebook, and I'm sure they actually have a website as well. But definitely check it out. Y'all will love it. So do it.
I should point out that Oregon actually has a Marvel exhibit as we speak.
Yeah, but it's just Marvel. This is Marvel, DC, TV shows, so yeah. Definitely.
Fair enough.
All right.
Yep. Okay, well, as for me, y'all can find me on Twitter at Film Spectrum and Instagram, same name.
Okay.
Actually, I do want to promote something I forgot.
Right,
I used to work at a comic shop called Alternate World, so I'd like to give a shout-out to my previous bosses, Mike and Olga. Come to their store in Conkeysville, Maryland. It's a very cool shop and very nice owners, too. So.
And as for us, you can find us at filmroom.org, where you can find our other projects. I've got the tie-ins that bind. By the time that this goes up, you will have my Pawnee guide review will be up.
Yeah.
I'm also going to finally give in to requests and review The Death and Life of Superman as a novel, which, look, it's great. It's great. There's really not much more to say about it, but I will find 1,000 words.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, you can find the cast. You can find The Ship Has Sailed.
Yeah, their sister show on the same network.
And maybe even a few. I'm hoping to do at least one comics for rent soon. Maybe two. Hopefully Tuesday I'm going to get to sit down and watch Batman Ninja. So
sweet.
Yes, I can't wait
to
see that
amazing.
Too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So
yeah,
it'll go for Marvel Rising too.
When that comes out, that's on the agenda.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe DC should just stick to the animated movies.
That's just it. Their direct-to-video animated movies have been on a real upswing lately.
Yeah. I mean, there have been some pretty bad ones. Let's admit
they need to cut it out with Batman, though.
You're right.
They do need to chill it
with
Batman.
But Batman's such a cash cow, that's why.
I don't give a fuck.
I know, right?
I was excited that he wasn't in Suicide Squad. It was like, oh, this
yeah,
is
me
cool.
Too.
It's like, oh, this is... It's cool, y'all.
Let's not talk about Joker, though. Let's just
no, I'm talking about the animated one.
Yeah, oh, no, I know, but I'm talking about Suicide Squad.
No. I'm talking about the animated
one. There you go.
Oh, seriously.
Okay.
I also want to give a shout-out to my Ship Is Sail co-host, who was supposed to be on this trip, but unfortunately couldn't.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, shout out to her.
Woo!
Well,
yeah, we love you.
We will talk to y'all next time.
Alright. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Farewell.
Thanks for
having me on. See ya.